From Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. For more information or to order equipping resources, call 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, do remember our contact information on the web. It's equip.org. Via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And resource consultants, as always, standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. A lot of you hanging on right to the phone lines. First up, Ray in Cluster, Washington, listening on KARI. Hi, Ray.
Hi, how are you this morning? I should say afternoon. I just got up. I'm working night shift.
Well, you sound like you and I are on the same page. Nice to talk to you.
Anyway, my question is, what happens to our pets? Do they have a soul or... any idea?
Yeah, I mean, they do have a soul, but the soul that they have is qualitatively different from a human soul. I point out in my book, Afterlife, that scripture from first to last suggests that animals have souls, because Moses in Genesis and John in Revelation communicate that the Creator endowed animals with souls. However, because the soul of an animal is qualitatively different from the soul of a human, I think there's a reasonable doubt that it can survive the death of the body. But if God resurrected our pets, I think it would be in total keeping with his overwhelming grace and goodness. So I don't think that we can rule out the possibility that even petted pets will be in the new heavens and the new earth, or paradise restored.
Oh, that sounds pretty good to me. I just lost a pet recently, and you just kind of wonder...
Yeah, I mean, again, I think, as I just said, it would be in total keeping with the overwhelming grace and goodness of God. The Scripture neither affirms it nor denies it, so you can't ultimately make a direct answer to that question from the Scriptures. You can make a theological deduction, though, and that's precisely what I'm doing.
Okay. Well, thank you. You have a good day.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Mark. He's listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how you doing, Hank?
Good. How are you?
I'm blessed. I'm a Christian, and I run into a lot of people that's in the nation, like Farrakhan, follow under his teachings. And what's the best way to be able to have some dialect and conversate with those individuals that follow that type of teaching?
Sure. Let's look at what they teach. I mean, the Nation of Islam, which, by the way, was founded by Wallace Fard, is a group of people who is proclaiming what Fard taught. Fard taught that he had come from the holy city of Mecca with a mission to teach blacks the truth about whites. And so the foundation of his theology was that Allah is God, the white man is the devil, and the so-called Negroes are the Asiatic black people, and thus the cream of planet Earth. And, of course, Wallace Fard was the founder, but Malcolm X was at St. Paul. And as at St. Paul, he helped to establish more than 100 temples before he was shot to death. Now the current icon of the Nation of Islam is Farrakhan, and according to Farrakhan, America is the number one enemy of freedom-loving peoples on the earth. Whites are devils, and blacks are warned to avoid following the evil and filth of the white race. I mean, these are pretty strong statements on the part of Farrakhan. I think if you're conversing with someone in this regard, you want to point out that Christianity is far from being the white man's religion. What does the Bible say? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Christianity as such is found on every continent on earth and embraces all the peoples of the world. Jesus himself was Asiatic, and as such it is historically false to call Christianity a white man's religion. And you should point that out and point it out emphatically. The fact that many professing Christians have failed to live up to the standard of Christ, of course, is a function of sin. But you cannot say the same for the Nation of Islam. In distinction to the teachings of Christ, the Nation of Islam's teachings are to encourage hatred towards one's enemies, whether those enemies are real enemies or just perceived enemies. So again, I think this is a very racist organization. I'd put it on the level with the Ku Klux Klan. You know, you have racist individuals who are completely negating the teachings of Scripture. The teachings of Scripture are that we are not to look at another person based on their skin pigmentation or elevate one people above another people. We're at the foot of the cross, those who have complete equality. So if you can look at someone who has less skin pigmentation than you do and talk about that person as the devil or vice versa, you are not following the teachings of Scripture.
Appreciate that. One last thing. When it comes to Jesus, I have a friend. She's a believer of Christ just like me, but she allows this type of stuff in her mind. So she starts, you know, coming to me, hey, it's some things that you don't know about Jesus. And it's just, I can tell that she's getting too much absorbed in that, because she's starting to say things that she wouldn't have said. And that kind of concerns me with her, because she seems like she follows any new type of thing about Jesus, you know, that's going against the whole deity. She kind of is easily manipulated into that, and that kind of bothers me.
Well, it should, and brilliant remarks on your part. I mean, I think that just the way you phrase that shows that you have great insight into the situation, and people are easily led, but you have to always point them back to the Scriptures and then point them to the reality of the poison that's being disseminated.
Thank you. I appreciate your time. I really do appreciate you taking my call. Listen to you every day.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate your call so much and your concern, a well-placed concern. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Justin. He's listening in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hi, Justin.
Hi, Hank. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Not bad. So I have a question. If God can transcend time and space, why did he create Lucifer if he knew that Lucifer would cause the demise of the human civilization?
Well, I think you can take that and personalize that. I mean, if you have kids and you know that those kids are going to have pain and eventually going to die, why have those kids to begin with? I think we would say it's better to love and lose than never love at all. And I think that from the perspective of God, God created beings that he could have a volitional relationship with, because they are volitional beings themselves. In that sense, they have a communicable attribute of God. And God created the angels so that he could have fellowship and relationship with them. That fellowship and relationship is only possible, again, if they are volitional beings. Without that, love is rendered meaningless. And so God knows what is going to happen. He's not the causal agent of what happened, but through what happened, the best of all circumstances eventually prevails, and that is a world in which we are forever able not to sin, and angels which are now actualized in their state of worship and love for God. And just as the fallen angels are actualized in their choice to not love God or serve him.
But my problem here is that the fact that God chose to create the devil, even though that...
Well, he didn't choose to create the devil. He chose to create angels for relationship. They were volitional beings, and therefore some of the angels rebelled and fell in that rebellion. and therefore they're separated from the love and grace of God. But God created angels. They had volition, and as a result of their volition, some of them are those who stand in opposition to the will, the purposes, and the love of God.
So are you saying that there was nothing God could have done to stop the devil from becoming the devil?
Oh, no, I'm not saying that at all. God could have created the devil as a Chatty Cathy doll. Pull the string and all that comes out is, I love you, I love you, I love you, without any meaning or any significance whatsoever. God could have done that, but then the whole idea of love would be impossible. That's kind of like you holding a .45 revolver to your wife or your kids' heads and saying, love me, and then feeling very, very happy that they said they loved you. In your heart, you would know that the only reason they said that is because you forced them to say it. For love to be meaningful, love has to be volitional. And I have to leave it at that. We'll be right back with more answers.
Every Christian strives to become more like Jesus Christ. But how does this transformation take place? The key to spiritual transformation is the practice of spiritual disciplines. The Spirit of the Disciplines by Dallas Willard is a must-read for every Christian who seeks to honor God in every area of their life. By practicing ancient, Christ-honoring disciplines, we begin to experience the core of Christian life and communion with Christ. To receive a copy of The Spirit of the Disciplines for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support the life-changing ministries of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit online at equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence.
Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org, equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. Let's go right back to the phone calls. We'll talk to Dana next in Franklin, Tennessee. Hi, Dana.
Hi, Hank. I'm so glad to be listening to your program and awesome that you took my call. I'm wondering about, I know that in the Bible that it specifically says that, you know, if somebody sees you for your cloak, give them your tunic also. If they compel you to walk a mile, walk two. But at what point are we, you know, supposed to or encouraged to defend ourselves? We're currently on our third bout of legal battle with one particular person in the last 2 years. And at this point, you know, I want to countersue for harassment because she's just pulling our life apart.
Yeah. And I don't think that it is incongruent with Christian principles to do that. If you are in a situation where the jurisprudence that is based on Christian principles now is necessary to be invoked by you, there's nothing biblical that would preclude that. The one thing that we should do is we should seek to settle matters peaceably with brothers and sisters in the Lord. But if they demonstrate that they're not truly brothers and sisters in the Lord by the way they're acting, then you can treat them as pagans. Jesus Christ makes that very, very clear in principle in places like Matthew chapter 18. So if they demonstrate that they are not, in fact, abiding by Christian principles, certainly the very principles that gave rise to Christian jurisprudence and the legal system that we have in the United States of America, which is a very good legal system compared to most legal systems in the world, if on that basis you have a legal system to start with, certainly Christians can use it.
Yeah, the one scripture that I have found that's kind of given me confidence with it was actually in Proverbs, and I can't remember where it is, but it's about a hot-tempered person will fall into trouble. If you rescue them, you'll have to do it again. And I'm thinking by avoiding taking her to court and making her face how she's treating us, I'm almost rescuing her from it because she's not facing that, and she'll treat others the same.
Sure, it's
so
almost a matter of
confidence in that.
No, that's right. It's a matter of enablement. I would totally agree with that. I think that's a good theological deduction that you've made from Scripture.
So it's not really a lack of forgiveness if we are taking somebody to court to defend ourselves.
Not at all, because what is forgiveness? Forgiveness ultimately is a two-way street. It requires someone who is willing to forgive as well as someone who is wanting to be forgiven. And without both those aspects, reconciliation cannot take place. We don't need to set a higher standard than God's standard. God's standard is for us to repent, and then he offers us forgiveness. But that forgiveness is not offered to those who do not repent, and our standard of forgiveness is certainly not higher than the Lord's standard of forgiveness.
That's a wonderful way of putting it. Thank you so much, Hank. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for calling. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines, Andrea, Knoxville, Tennessee. Hi.
Hey, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Good talking to you.
Good talking to you. I appreciate you taking my call. I'm calling tonight because recently, I just lost my dad 2 months ago, and sorry, I didn't expect to get emotional right from the get-go.
I can understand it.
Basically, he was just an amazing person. Spiritually, he's been the most influential person to me. Mm-hmm. Just, I mean, if I've met him, I mean, he's about as close to the saint as anybody that I've ever met. So anyway, we both enjoyed listening to you and discussing broadcasts. I wanted to let you know that. And he supported the Christian Research Institute, got the magazines and the books, Loved Your Apocalypse Code. So anyway, my question tonight, I got the Afterlife book. And so from reading that, I just thought, it sounds like Hank lost his dad when he was in his 60s as well. Is that true? Was your dad in his 60s?
Yeah, my dad died in 1997, and he was 74 years of age.
Okay. So it still had, you know, quite a bit of life to live, I guess,
yes,
to us.
Yes.
I mean, so my dad was 67, basically needed a heart transplant, and his time ran out. He was on the heart transplant list for this past year. And so anyway, his time just ran out. He was a big old guy, 6'4", you know, 230, and there's just not many hearts that match up to what he needed. So anyway, his time ran out, and we lost him right before Christmas. And so, I spiritually, I understand the promise that God has given us. Thank the Lord for that. I'd be in the bed, you know, depressed over Dad's death, not able to do anything without that promise. So I'm good there. But I wondered, with you losing your dad, and it sounds like you were close to him as well, how have you gained the comfort from the fact of that, you know, this person had probably, I mean, my dad probably had 15, 20 years left with us, possibly, and there's grandkids, you know, that loved him dearly and that are super young and that would have really been affected even more so from his witness and who he is. So you think, gosh, you know, how does this make sense? How does this death make sense? I know the Lord knows. But so I just wonder, you know, sometimes outside of spiritual things, it just stinks. And it is what it is, and it just hurts, and because you love it. So I just wanted to ask you, since we have that in common, you know, kind of losing somebody fairly young, how you've just gained a little bit of peace with that person passing.
You know, Andrea, I hate to say this, but in some ways, you don't gain peace with it. It's just a difficult thing to deal with. So what I've often told people, Andrea, is that Christianity doesn't give us a peaceful way to come to terms with the maladies of life and the reality of death. It is precisely as you say, it just stinks. I mean, that couldn't have been said. I mean, honestly, those words are eloquent in my view. That's exactly how it is. It's a very difficult circumstance, and Christianity doesn't give us a magic bullet for that. What it ultimately says is that there is the hope of resurrection, and that's what we long for, that's what we look forward to, but in the meantime, as you say, it stinks. It's difficult. Life is messy, and there's nothing pretty about death. It's a very difficult, dirty business when you think about it, the unnatural rending of body and soul. You also wisely alluded to the fact that we just, you know, we don't have the answers here. Christianity doesn't always give us the answer to the why question. What it does give us, I think, is something far greater. It is a way of trusting God in the midst of our whys, something you also alluded to. You know, you're trusting God and you're knowing that in the end there'll be a satisfactory explanation, though it doesn't make sense to us right now.
Right. Well, and one last question. You know, my dad and I had an amazing relationship. I'm 34 years old, so I long to have that relationship with him again. So in heaven, do you think our dads will be that? I know not to the need that we needed them here, but, you know, I don't want Dad just to be a brother in Christ to me. I want to, when I see him, I'll be like, Dad, you know.
Yeah.
So good to see you.
Well,
I know this sounds really earthly.
No, I mean, I think it's beautiful. And I think certainly that whatever relationship you had with your dad here will be remembered in eternity. But your relationship with your dad is going to be something that far exceeds anything that you can imagine. It's like C.S. Lewis once explained, a boy eating chocolates can't imagine a greater pleasure. Like the pleasure of intimate relationship with a woman in marriage. But nonetheless, though it eludes him, it is a very real pleasure that he hasn't experienced, he doesn't know about, so he thinks chocolate is the best thing that you can experience. It's not. And in the same way, we look at the relationship we had on Earth as being the best or as good as it gets, and as good as it was, and you had a wonderful relationship with your dad, as is obvious as I did with my dad. But it is a pale comparison to what will be experienced when you encounter your dad in eternity. So it won't be the same relationship, but whatever it is, it will be a whole lot better. Something that is inconceivable, and I think that gives us great comfort as well.
Oh, yeah, it sure does. I really appreciate your time, and thank you for all you do and your books. They've been wonderful.
Andrea, may the peace of the Lord be with you.
Thank you.
God bless you. I'm getting kind of emotional myself. I'm glad we're at the end of this show. It's just a wonderful thing to see that kind of relationship between a young lady, as in her case, I'd call her young, and her father. And, you know, we can all relate to that in some way. So we're going to close out the broadcast today. Thank you for, just think about her dad supporting this ministry and now being in the presence of the Lord. We were certainly grateful for that, and for all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach. Thanks for tuning in. Again, thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with this one-of-a-kind ministry in the battle for life and truth. So long for now.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.